up, everybody? Welcome to another week and another episode of Ballin' Out Super. Rest in peace, Toriyama Sensei. I'm your host, Lawson Leong, aka Lawson Phoenix, aka the man who conquered fire, aka Lala, aka the Hitman, aka the Flying Hawaiian, aka Fernando Valenzuela. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Benel Hermosen.
Since Jesus and Mero are no longer on the air, Lawson has decided to take their multiple nickname gimmick and run with it.
It's not my fault that I've had multiple nicknames throughout my life.
It's not his fault at all.
I didn't even throw in Long Prong Leong or some of the other ones.
No, not at all. He didn't even throw in the Gossip of Sayasas. Like, not even that.
I didn't even throw in the Prince of Park Slope or the Sultan of the Slope or
Brooklyn Lion.
Yeah,
Brooklyn Lion's my favorite. That's your wrestling. Yo, that's your wrestling gimmick, brother. If you decide to do a Josh Alba and start training mad late in your life.
Yeah,
Brooklyn Lion.
I just might, Benny G.
Hey, you still got time, and you got me to train you poorly, which is
yay.
What I love to do.
And then I got Zach to text about it.
I train people wrong as a joke.
As a joke. We've trained people wrong. Brooklyn Lion long as a joke.
As a joke.
That's the only explanation we get about his whole character. It's just because it's just...
Yeah. We trained him. Wiblow is an idiot. We trained him wrong as a joke.
Watch my face to foot style.
The Magnus Whiplow is so fucking stupid. It's great. Like, he's just fucking 10-10, just a moron character.
I bleed, therefore I'm the victor.
He's just dumb. Damn, Whiplow.
Whiplow.
Alright.
Anyway, I designed a game, Benel.
Yeah,
me
did.
And a couple of the homies, but no, I mean like a new one. I was just coming up with this last night, this morning, and it's all about, instead of hit points, you have what we call refractory. So you lose when you run out of refractory. You have to go to sleep. You run out. But certain things can replenish it. Like if a sandwich, you get D4 refractory back. Or a nap gives you 10 refractory back. But if you run into a trap, like, oh no, we were on Pornhub for 20 minutes, then you lose like D6 refractory. That's the damage in this game. It's a real thing I was thinking about this morning. It's a real
thing. God damn, that's hilarious.
And then you get like a call, you're like, oh no, your grandma died, so you actually gain one refractory. But then you get a call, it's like, oh no, your greatest enemy died, then you lose the D4 refractory again. So... Yeah, you know. Anyway, this is copywritten because I recorded this, right? That's how that works. So you can't steal my idea now.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
This is now copywritten.
Can't steal idea.
What? Just, publishing a game called Refractory Period.
You're like in different situations. Like, you're in different situations, but, like, you know, it's, like, mitigating refractory periods, like, trying to gain refractory. Like, alright, what's the gameplay loop here?
So, like, you can either be, like, you're, like, you choose, like, an alignment, like, either you're, like, like, okay, like, if you're, like, if you're, like, a real one, you're either a real one or a coward. So that depends on certain situations. So like, if you're like if your girl's on her period, if you're a coward, you gain D4 refractory. But if you're a real one, you lose D4 refractory. Real.
Those are the character classes, the binary character class system.
Yeah.
You're either a coward or a real one. Those are the only two choices you have. By the way, you don't determine your character class, your DM determines based on your choices.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Another stat could be judgment, like if you see judgment. Which affects how long you receive refractory.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more judgment you have, the longer you're longer and for like the more refractory you can gain in a turn.
Yeah, hell yeah, definitely, yeah. Coward and real one of the two classes.
Clap. That's pretty great.
Yeah. Fuck. Anyway. I literally came up with this idea this morning, so it's still obviously in development. But you can see the... Yeah, I don't know what the gameplay loop is yet. That's, I gotta figure that out, I guess. This might be like a board game. It might not be like an RPG. It might be like a board game. Maybe. I don't know.
God, that's fucking hilarious. My God.
Yeah. Anyway, we no CBR list this week. Those motherfuckers, they get a week off from us ridiculing them. Slash advertising for them for free. Sort of. So I suppose
we should start asking for money.
Yeah.
We should start asking for money.
I mean, they kind of bury them.
More press than...
Well, yeah, all press is good press, right? There's no bad press or whatever, yeah.
I mean, with the algorithm, like, even negative comments will get you into more pages than positive comments.
That is how it works.
Because, you know, the world is run by sociopaths. Like, that's how that works.
I need to
hate. It's because the tech industry is run by... Is because the tech industry is run by specifically autistic people that also lack empathy. So those, like,
whoa,
that two things does not work. That those two things together, the lack of empathy is the more problem. Not the autism. The autism is like, you know, we get great musicians out of autism.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't have a Jimi Hendrix if there's no autism.
You know the show Peacemaker starring John Cena?
Yeah.
I think it was written by, what's his name? The guy that does all the good superhero movies.
James Gunn?
James Gunn, that one, yeah. Or at least produced by him. I think he wrote the whole thing. Anyway, my point is, I don't know if you've seen any of it. I've watched a little bit of it, but mostly I've watched compilations of vigilante quotes and scenes. His sidekick.
Yeah.
And I would like watch these and it would be like funny. But I watching just like his scenes out of context, I thought vigilante was a sociopath. But then I came across this one video titled Vigilante Being Autistic for 7 minutes or whatever, right? One of these. And then I was like, oh wait, is he autistic? I just thought he was a sociopath. So now I'm questioning. Yeah, he just has low empathy. Well, not just. But apparently, this person who edited the video said, like, pointed out, like, multiple things that he answers things, like, literally a lot, and... Which, again, it's funny.
Yeah, people with
sociopathy?
It's a new designation.
Oh.
Yeah. Sociopathy, like, they understand. Like, they don't understand, but they're great at masking. Like, okay, people with autism and people who are psychopaths are great at masking, but people with autism are, like, understand How can I explain this?
Low empathy is,
very hard.
It's hard because I don't want to paint with a broad brush, because, like, it's not like everybody who has autism is, like, quote-unquote low empathy or whatever, they don't all exhibit the same exact sets of traits, but there are sets of traits that are under the umbrella of that as well. See, I just thought if you didn't have empathy, you were a sociopath. That's what I'm expressing is that I think I'm learning something. I watched Vigilante's character, and I just wrote, I was like, oh, he's just a sociopath. But the person who edited this video together was like, he's clearly autistic if you look at this. And apparently, like, James Gunn has, like, slight autism as well, so that's probably part of it or whatever, but...
Well,
a lot of creative people do, yeah.
Creative people are,
yeah, they're on the spectrum of some kind, so...
Are heavy on the spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think the traits that are most common in sociopaths are, like, manipulation and, like, impulsivity. Right. And,
yeah.
Reckless and deceitful. Those aren't, you know, autistic people aren't, like, specifically manipulative.
Right, and Vigilante's character isn't really either, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he has low empathy, but he's, like, not deceitful.
No, in fact, he's, like, literal. He's, like, kind of the opposite-ish. Like,
he's too literal, yeah.
Yeah.
He's literal, like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he might just be a very low empathy autistic person, and not, like, a full sociopath.
And, like, he doesn't read the situations a lot of times, or the room a lot. It's like, there's, like, a scene where, like, spoilers for Peacemaker, if you care about that. It's not the type of show that, I don't think spoilers really matter, but, like, skip, like, a minute ahead if you... But, like, there's, like, a scene, like, after John Cena, like, his dad dies. But his dad was, like, a villain, I think. So, like, his dad dies, and he's, like, really sad about it. And Vigilante's, like, hyped. He's like, yeah, we got him! And then...
Yeah.
The other character has to be like, yo, he's, like, mourning his dad right now. He's like, oh, but I thought... I thought we were celebrating this. Anyway, it's a fun show. Apparently, James Gunn wrote it all in lockdown.
To be fair, John Cena's dad is a neo-Nazi in that show, so, like, you know, fuck him.
Oh, is he a neo-Nazi? Yeah, okay, like,
I was on Peacemaker. I'm sorry about your dad, but he was a fucking asshole.
I knew he was a villain. I didn't know he was a straight-up neo-Nazi. That's okay, yeah.
But fuck him, like... Fuck his ass.
That's hilarious.
Fuck him, he's a piece of shit. So, like, I'm Vigilante's side. Sorry about your shitty dad.
Yeah.
You don't get empathy. You don't get, like, I'm sad because my dad. No, your dad's a neo-Nazi. I'm glad he's dead. There you go.
Yeah. Vigilante was right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know what? That goes for everyone's racist dad. I don't give a shit if they're your dad.
But his cum made
me. And here's the thing. We were like, he's like, what about your dad? I don't give a shit about my dad either. What? Why do people act like that's a gotcha?
It's easy for you to say. You also didn't like your dad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Like, dads aren't important to me.
Mm.
Despite the fact that I am one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to change the system of dads. You can't fight against shonen anime forever, Benel.
Oh, I'm not.
The string of bad dads will live on through shonen anime. And real life. No, but, anyway, that's just a little tidbit about what I've been up to, watching Peacemaker compilation videos. And as you can see, the life of a life of an anime podcaster is filled with wonder and mystery and adventure. And with that, Benel, let's get into this week's episode of Dragon Ball.
Bam! Dragon Ball. Episode 44. After a previously on, which shows us Goku arriving at Bulma's house from his adventures in Mitchell City, Bulma learns that Bulma and the police officer learn that Bulma is in school while after Goku yells at a house for a few minutes. I think that's very funny. Just
boy yells at house. Yeah.
Boy yells at. Here's the thing, that would also work in the Bronx. Someone just open a window.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, it's like,
that's how you used to communicate.
It's like the show kind of plays, it's like it's a gag that Goku yells at the house, but of all the things Goku's done in the show, that seemed like the most normal. Like, yeah, you go outside someone's house, yell, hey! Hey!
Yeah.
Yo, is Maria home?
As a New York kid, if you didn't know someone was home, we didn't have cell phones, and we occasionally didn't know each other's numbers, so we just yell at people's houses until somebody opened a window.
Yes. That's they gotta walk over the window, open that shit. Hey! Yo,
can you throw that key? They didn't want to come all the way down and says, yo, I'm gonna put the keys in a bag and I'm gonna throw them down to you.
Yo, is Kareem home? Where's Kareem at? Oh, all right then. I'll catch up with him then. Walk away.
Right, later. Yo, Mom, I'll throw the keys down. Don't throw the keys down. Mom, throw the keys down. Oh, no, not you, Miss Hernandez. Sorry, Miss Hernandez.
Good times. Yeah, so
up in the suburbs, don't know that life.
It's different. Yeah, it's different. Goku yells at the house. And then the cop is like, no, you crazy boy, use the intercom. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like in 2024 being like, what?
Like, every fucking like, dude, I grew up in the hood, every intercom is broken.
Yeah.
Ain't no intercom that works. Brother.
They had intercoms where you were at?
Yeah, man, I'm from the X. They had intercoms and elevators. Didn't work. And all of them, they were never, none of them worked.
Yeah, the Bronx.
None of them work.
The Bronx does have. I do remember they did have elevators. I don't remember. I guess because I was a kid, I never. I don't remember even trying to use intercoms at all. I do remember the elevators, though.
Yeah.
Because my folks would always be like. Like, elevators are kind of scary because you get robbed in them.
They were like. And also, they would just stop working. Like,
well, that's the whole other. Yeah, that's fucking. Like, you just gotta trust them shits,
like, elevators in the hood were like, it's good work.
And this is before
an office building or in like a resident, like in, yeah.
This is before everybody had cell phones too, so it was a very scary proposition to be trapped in that shit.
If you were in there and you were trapped, it's over. It's just over. Like you're just stuck in there. Until somebody like,
unless you actually move your way through the roof or something,
was like for you,
right?
Fucking right.
Well, like theoretically, it's like if they're used enough, someone will realize one of them is broken, and then, but still, that sucks to be you in there not knowing what's happening outside. You know,
facts.
My folks told me like use the stairs if you can, if it's not like seven floors. It was within reason. If it was within like 4 or 5 floors, you'd probably use the stairs. Anyway, so the cop goes over to the comms. He's like, Bulma, you already said this. Bulma's not back from school yet because it's still early in the afternoon.
Bulma soon arrives on a hover scooter. And sees Goku and a police officer. Goku asks Bulma to fix his dragon radar, while the police officer asks Bulma to fix his scooter. Once again, the state relying on the private sector to do all the dirty work.
Yeah, maybe they don't have good funding, though. Benji.
They're cops. They have great... They have cops. They have, like a $20 billion budget.
But in this city? I mean, it's a pretty big city. They should.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. What is dog president? How's he allocating funds? How many of the funds are going to dog food? These are the questions we gotta bring up to the state.
Everyone knows that the dog president is a puppet of the state. That's why he supports genocide. Genocide of the dinosaur people.
I will write a bill that will say dinosaur people are free to own as slaves. Whoa, dog president. Whoa.
I mean, whoa, doctor.
Whoa.
Dog president.
You can't be doing that.
Very controversial. Says he will sign a bill to strip away the rights of millions of dinosaur people.
Fucking Kieran's on the, and his boys around the desert being like, "Woo, no!" He's the Donald Trump to them.
Well, yeah, Kieran's
Kieran's furious.
Kieran's that they're like people. He's like, I, as dog president, will get rid of TikToks. He's like, you also get rid of TikToks. Man, what is 2D Lean gonna do without, like, once that bill comes down and they censor TikTok, what's 2D Lean gonna do?
I don't know. Whatever 2D Lean
said does TikToks.
Whatever 2D Lean did before
and then
TikTok.
I watched them all. Fuck. He's gonna send us reels.
I guess, yeah, there's always Instagram. When Obama was showing up, by the way,
like Duty Lean is how I get my
your news.
Duty Lean is how I get my news. Like
he's the Daily Show for you now.
Yeah, he just.
I want to point out also that when Obama was coming through, Goku said, "I can smell her. She's on her way." And that's like if there was anyone other than Goku, it'd be incredibly creepy. And she shows up, and then the cop
that
starts.
That would be gravy.
The cop starts like smelling her, which is also really fucking weird. He's like
the cop sniffs her and goes like, "She's not smelly."
Yeah, but it was just weird that he was doing that. It's like, yeah, like you're trying to sniff a 15-year-old girl.
He's like, "You
fella, what the fuck."
You're trying not to sniff 15-year-old. Honestly, teenagers fucking stink. Honestly, bro, the teenagers fucking stink sometimes. Like it's that hormone. It's those hormones, bro. They smell across a room. They are there. It is tough. So yeah, once inside, Bulma takes Goku and the police officer to a small walking tour of the giant compound, and realizes that her dad takes in a lot of stray dogs and cats and dinosaurs. Before Mr. Brief shows up and introduces himself, after a mix up with the police officer, whereby he confuses the officer for Goku. Goku and Bulma head upstairs to repair the dragon radar. Bulma offers to help Goku out finding the Dragon Ball, but Goku declines, pointing out that she was just going to slow him down. And also, she can't find on Kintun-un anyway, because she's not, like, a good person.
To which Bulma says,
I'm
a great, amazing person. Oh, in the English version, she goes, I'm a great person. My only crime is being beautiful. Goku.
That's literally what she says in the Japanese version, too.
Oh, okay. Goku completely no-sells it, which I found hilarious. Because the Goku is like, he's probably just like, but it doesn't, like, the Nimbus doesn't care if you're beautiful. Like, again, it's like, Goku, Goku doesn't have autism, he just was raised in the woods by one old man. So,
yeah.
His interpretation of behavior is very different. Like, he tried to talk back to the intercom.
Goku's not. Goku just doesn't know things, bro.
People say Goku's stupid, and I agree with that in Dragon Ball Z. But in Dragon Ball, he's naive, really.
Yeah, he's really naive. Bulma points out that she doesn't need to fly on Kintun anyway, using her microwatch that allows her to shrink. And as she shrinks down, she's soon trampled underfoot by her mother. Am I right, ladies?
Ladies! Led Zeppelin.
Do you also have a contentious relationship with your mom?
you're trying to smooch Goku in your room, and then your mom comes in with her perpetually closed eyes and fucking lemonades and her high heels stepping on you.
She's literally stepping on Bulma when she's at her smallest. Come on, that's on the nose.
How come when I was at my smallest, there was only one set of footprints? Well, my dear, that's when I stepped on you.
That's just my giant footprints.
Those are my footprints. You were too small to leave footprints. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bulma's lucky she didn't get killed by this, by the way.
Yeah, straight up.
So she goes back to normal size and yells at her mom. She also yelled at her dad, who also made a comment about not making out with Goku in her room, which is really funny.
Both of her parents believe that she's going through a rebellious phase, even though her parents are clearly embarrassing. Like,
yes,
Bulma's mom offers Goku alcohol.
Oh, was it alcohol? I thought it was like lemonade. I didn't realize.
She literally says, "Here's the thing." The joke being, Bulma's parents are shitty parents,
right?
And so Bulma's mom offers Goku a stiff drink, but Bulma refuses because Goku's 12. Goku asks Bulma if Yamcha and Oolong are around, but Bulma's mom tells her that Yamcha and Bulma had a fight and he left. So, like, Bulma's mom, in, like, a few short seconds, steps on her daughter, offers alcohol to a minor, and immediately gossips about Bulma and Yamcha's private relationship.
All of that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just tells Goku about it, like it's his business. The thing about this, also, is that Goku doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't, like, it...
Yeah,
like, Goku's just trying to get his...
None of this matters to him.
No, he's trying to get his thing fixed so he can go get the Dragon Balls. And, like, he considers Yamcha and Bulma friends, so, like, he'd rather they get along, but he doesn't, like, care. He's not like, oh, no, Bulma and Yamcha broke up. I was really rooting for those kids. Like, he doesn't... It doesn't even faze it. It washes over him like a wave while he's just on the beach. So, yeah, and then then we hear the screaming fangirls, right? This is when their voices pop up.
We hear commotion outside, and we see that Yamcha has a fan club of teenage girls constantly harassing Bulma's house.
I mean, that is annoying.
Like, that would definitely lead a fight in my house if my wife opens the window and there's a bunch of teenage girls screaming for me, she'd be like, fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Like, she wouldn't be, like, stoked about it.
If we're being reasonable, though, what's Yamcha supposed to do about this?
It's not his fault that he's charming and girls
that he's
like
a catch.
Him.
I mean, as Mrs. Breeze points out, Yamcha's a catch. Which is really funny, because when we're introduced to him, he's like a weird, creepy bandit guy. And we know his whole thing was that he was afraid to talk to girls, right? That was, like, the fun duality of him early on. And
yeah,
now...
When you get a girlfriend... Yeah, when you get a girlfriend, all of a sudden...
That's true.
Yeah, all of a sudden, ladies are like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy. I was like, where were you? Where were you?
His personal confidence... And his value has shot up. He's what people call on the internet a high value man.
He's a high value man.
And the thing also is that, like, I mean, he is a catch. He's like, the show, he's handsome, right? He's young. People don't, like, know that he used to be afraid to talk to girls or whatever. He's got that, like, cool haircut now. He doesn't have, like, the really shaggy hair. He's all put together now. and he's fucking, like, jacked and ripped and, like, the fourth strongest person on Earth. So, imagine if, like, you were friends with, like, the fourth strongest person on Earth. Pretend you're not Goku when you're the second strongest person on Earth, where it's less impressive to you. Pretend you're, you know, just you, and you know the, like, third smartest scientist who's dating the fourth strongest person on Earth, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the power couple that Bulma and Yamcha are. But Bulma's still a teenage tsundere, so she's gotten to by the fan club. She's gotten to.
She has been gotten to. After yelling at these kids to get off her lawn, he cut over to the Red Ribbon headquarters, where Commander Red clucks his tongue, strokes his beard, and asks what's to be done with this Goku. The Red Ribbon Army are able to gather the 1 million Zenny commissioned to pay Husky, a master thief, to steal the Dragon Balls run under her nose, and we meet Husky making her way into town. Husky is dressed as Kenshiro from Fist and North Star, by the way, and sits like Han Solo.
Yep. They're called Halsky in the English, I think.
Yeah.
It's Husky in the Japanese?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with Husky then, because it's kind of more fun. So Husky, yeah, we see them like doing a bunch of flips through a bunch of like red wire gimmicks. Motion detectors. They're a sublime master thief. Husky.
Yeah. I mean, he swipes. Ain't nothing wrong with swiping. We all swipe it. We all swipe and are swiped in return.
Swiping, no swiping. Go fuck yourself.
Let's see. So Husky runs into the Husky tracks down the two local flunkies, which are also the guys that tried to rob Goku on his first day in town, and tells the duo that they're going after this man, who is Goku. Goku and Bulma get on King To'un and head over, as Bulma has promised him fun.
We're going to see the sights in Capsule City. Also, the quote reveal is that Husky's actually a lady. That's right, she's Lady Han Solo, basically.
She's Lady Han Solo.
She's a rapscallion. She, like, draws a pistol and shoots it at the guys. And yeah, she's Lady Han Solo.
Basically. Anyway, so, yeah. Bulma shrinks down and puts herself in Goku's gi, and then heads off. There's a short payoff to the police officer's B storyline, as his scooter is been repaired too good, and he causes an accident.
He goes too fast. Too furious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's also Canadian. The cop's Canadian, by the way.
In the English, the cop's Canadian?
Yeah, he's got a Canadian accent. Completely. He goes, see? Anyway.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. Bulma's really comfortable being in Goku's gi. It really shows that she considers him just a friend. Because nothing to this.
No problem with it.
She's just right in there.
No problem with it. None whatsoever. Alright, so, Bulma offers to take Goku to an amusement park that's suspended in the air, but Goku takes a quick detour to see Yamcha, who is practicing his kata in the park. Bulma, not wanting to see Yamcha, pinches Goku so that she can remain tiny, but when Oolong and Puar begin to bag on her, she hears enough and embiggens. Bulma and Goku heading to the mid-air amusement park, Yamcha, Oolong, and Puar decide to tag along, all while being watched by Husky and her two street flunkies. Husky aims to steal those Dragon Balls.
Yeah, Puar and Oolong, they bring up a lot of good points about Bulma. She's a spoiled brat and annoying and everything and abuses Yamcha. And then Yamcha's like, you know, you guys are right about that, but... And he's probably going to say, like, but I love her, though. But Bulma and Biggins before he can say the nice part. So she's just mad at him. But the gang is back together going to the amusement park. And Shenanigans Will ensue. Out of 7 Dragon Balls, how many do you give this one, Benel Hermosen?
This is a nice 4-star show.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3. I guess it was kind of funny, but nothing really happened.
No, nothing really happened.
Yeah, there's some solid bits, I guess. But, yeah, we...
I like these characters, though.
That's true.
I like these characters, so, like...
Bulma's parents
are
funny.
And this is, like, Goku and Bulma... Yeah, Bulma's parents are funny. This is Goku and Bulma just hanging out.
Yeah.
So, like, I like, you know, I like when they'll... Because they don't... We don't get a lot of Goku and Bulma for... We haven't had Goku and Bulma for a while.
That's true. Patreon.com/BOSPod. Benny G, tell the people at home about your wares.
Ham_wrestler, capitalist pig wrestler for more wrestling.
Absolutely. And as always, thanks again. We'll see you next time for another week, another episode of Ballin' Out Super.
Super.
Adios, saluda, morning, dinero.
It all started back when I was 7, 9/11. Whole world's a stage and it's hanging by a thread. I was swept by the wind in an unseen direction. For some, it's dumb luck. To some, it seems destined. Yeah, captivated. Frankly, it's understandable. Brain dead zombies long before we were cannibals. Tough loss, off season makes the man in you. Gotta get over the hump like a camel do. Easy. I stay focused like the camera crew. Right brother for the job, watch me fly to coop. I flow hot like a side of soup. I know what not to stock, got the insider scoop, flood the market. If I had all of you for targets, I would wipe the earth clean, turn the stage to a tar pit. Expert, marksman, Ares the Martian. I let slip the dogs of war, there's no bargains. No, I will not let this slide.
Yeah.
Watch all this precious time slip past my eyes. Well, they told me I was dreaming. Life becomes a dream when all you end up seeing are lies. So that depends now. What do you believe in? The rhyme or the reason?
I hate the model that you only live once. Cause I wake up every morning and I live that day up. Another opportunity, another pay stub. Another small step to making them big bucks. See, a lot of y'all don't understand like parents. Son and rappers, but no heir apparent. I'm so damn embarrassed. Call in Karen. Broadcast live, tune in when it's airing. Surf the radio, surge in a brainstorm. I bridge the gap and break them down with the waveforms. Murder rap, twist your cap to your face board. Why you wanna leave all of these people at your wakeboard? Like the fire burning inside me. A lit pyre, a funeral for a Viking. From the ashes, the phoenix is rising. I ain't the devil, but resemblance is striking.
No, I will not let this slide. And watch all this precious time slip past my eyes. Well, they told me I was dreaming. Life becomes a dream when all you end up seeing are lies. But that depends now. What do you believe in? The rhyme or the reason?
I came in the door. Said it before. Never let the mic magnetize me no more. So for better or for worse, each verse like an opus. I'm hoping all my opponents give notice to those who closest. Tell them the sand roses, chosen in zen moments. Focus upon the poet. Potent pen is explosive, I'm running red with emotion. Open to unload it. Lo and behold, the totem pole has eroded. I'm over the dose, some say past the limit. Don't tempt me to tip my temper, still itching to punch your ticket. Sickened by all the gimmicks, vision uncompromising, flying into the storm. I'm out riding the lightning. I'm fighting. Every single breath is igniting. A mind in the dark that's looking for enlightening. It might be the only way out. There's no telling. But till then, take the streets and keep yelling. Oh, hell.
I will not let this slide. And watch all this precious time slip past my eyes.
end up seeing a lot.